When you think about misconceptions, there is an inaccuracy involved within your perceived perspective on a particular viewpoint. In today's episode, I am going to explore three misconceptions about cueing. Understanding better why these perspectives are inaccurate will help you identify and evaluate where you might need to make a perspective shift in your own approach to cueing so that you can lead others within a yoga practice, ultimately inviting them to experience the residual transformational qualities that yoga has to offer us. Welcome to the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training Podcast, the podcast for yoga teachers to learn tips, techniques, and teaching approaches in order to build confidence and success teaching yoga. I am your host, Sandy Raper, and on this podcast, I am going to share with you my strategies and approach to teaching, along with stories from many teaching experiences that have supported me within a thriving teaching career for over two decades. Thank you for joining me today. Let's get back to today's episode. Before we get into today's episode, I am excited to let you know that the Key Cueing course is here. This is a new online mini course that I have just released, and I'm so excited to share this valuable resource with you. So stay tuned till the end of this episode, and you'll find out even more how you can get all the details on this new mini course that is sure to infuse confidence and assurance in your cueing approach in as little as 5 days. All right, let's get into the three misconceptions about cueing. Cueing, what an important topic for us to explore. And in this episode, I am excited to share with you a few insights from the experiences that have shaped my teaching vocation for well over 20 years now. I can remember back to a time in my teaching journey when I found that my focus resided more heavily on the sequencing aspect of teaching, rather than what I was actually going to say when I went in to lead the class, and ultimately the impact that my cues and the language that I was using could make on the practice experience. At that time, I can also remember sensing that there had to be more to teaching a yoga class than just the creative element of sequencing the yoga poses together. Although, yes, I do firmly believe that there is an art to intelligently sequencing yoga classes, and that yoga teachers, we should definitely be spending time understanding and developing this aspect of the craft of our teaching. However, in this instance, and this revelation, I'll call it, I sensed that there was more, there had to be, and that quite possibly my approach to teaching and planning classes was lacking, or at least my priority of action was out of order. Cueing is an underpinning to the classes that we teach, and it really sets the framework of all other aspects of the yoga class. In this episode, I will be sharing the why behind this vital aspect of cueing, as well as identifying and highlighting three of what I feel are the most commonly experienced misconceptions when it comes to cueing for yoga teachers, along with the myth behind the mindset of these misconception and perspectives. By the end of this podcast episode, you will be able to identify where possibly one or more of these misconceptions are showing up for you, and then spend some time after this episode reflecting upon the insight I'm going to share with you. Evaluate and explore. Possibly you need a shift in your perspective. Ultimately, my desire for sharing all of this with you today is so that it will support you in developing a confident and assured approach to cueing that will also make a direct and big impact in all of the other areas of your teaching skill set. Let's dig in now to why cueing is vital. I'll begin by asking you whether or not you have ever really thought about the impact of cueing and the language that you use in your classes. I feel like as teachers, we focus a lot of our efforts, like I've mentioned, like I was doing more heavily in the time on sequencing. And so much so that often we find ourselves on a quest and spending a lot of preparation time trying to create the most highly creative and complex sequence as possible. There isn't anything wrong with spending time developing your class sequences. In fact, most likely you have heard, and I have shared often within many episodes, that when it comes to sequencing, nothing is random. And you do want to make sure that you are spending time evaluating, educating yourself in the aspects that make up highly effective sequencing, such as anatomy, applying myofascial markers and release techniques, along with the thoughtful intelligence of linking yoga poses together in a way that supports the student's ability to assess the deeper layers and experience of the yoga practice. What if I told you, though, that you just might have your priorities out of order when it comes to planning? Yes, have you considered that your first priority of understanding is to develop your skill set for knowing what the organizing actions are, along with the intention and emphasis behind the yoga poses, behind how you'll use guiding and directive language to lead others through the landscape of their bodies and beyond the physicality of the practice into those more subtle, deeper layers that I just mentioned. When you plan your classes, where do you begin? If you prioritize your class planning and begin to use the framework of cueing and the development of a class narrative that supports inquiry and observation first, you can then begin to build upon that framework, plugging in the various mini sequences that align into that intentional organizational approach to teaching a yoga class. So, where are you leading students? It begins with the framework of the emphasis and intention you are sharing within that given practice experience that you are leading. Once you establish this aspect, the framework, then you will have a clearer working model to identify and know which collection of postures are going to contribute towards building the desired class design you seek to offer. Are you seeing where this priority of action and this order might be out of place? Most often, we get caught up in the sequencing first rather than considering the cues and the language that will direct the overall class experience. Not only is cueing the framework, but it is a powerful communicator. As I just mentioned, the framework of cueing and the language that you use to lead the class sets the intention and emphasis of the practice experience. And then it allows you to communicate and lead students beyond the layers of the physicality or the producing of a desired shape or what we like to call yoga poses. This approach also offers students guidance within the discovery and exploration aspect of the practice that is beyond the doing or producing aspect of the practice and invites students into the energetic quality of being, which is to notice and develop this awareness while practicing the various asana shapes. Think about it this way. Your brain is comprised of two distinct functioning systems. The left side is the more analytical side, and your right side is designed in a more relational capacity. And the right side is tracking faster than the left. If you think about cueing in regards to using your words, which is more of a left brain function, to tap into the relational aspect of how students are interacting with themselves and in relationship to the yoga practice experience, which would be more right brain functioning, then you have a powerful opportunity as the teacher to lead and guide and cue to offer a full brain experience just by adapting and using your words in a way that not only supports the technical aspect of organizing and physically doing the yoga poses, but your language can then lead students into a felt experience where actually there is greater opportunity to fast track them towards that experience, that transformational residue I've mentioned that we hear often about within yoga, which is the yoga of the experience. To support further the understanding of how vital the aspect of cueing is, there is also the opportunity available to support students in creating the autonomous experience they wish to have on their yoga mats, as well as to support the understanding and connecting of the dots so that they can translate this creative experience off their mat and out into their daily living. How you cue and the language you use to direct and guide students has the ability to equip and empower students in making their own choices throughout and within the practice experience. It also will support and establish independence in their learning and the development of a sustained practice that they can carry with them throughout the seasons of their life. Let's now get into the three misconceptions of cueing. Myth number one, I need to be on my mat and practice with students in order to know what to cue. First of all, you are not practicing when you lead a class from your mat. I'm going to highly encourage you to spend time evaluating and shifting your perspective on this one. This is another insight I have shared often and within many past episodes. I often share with students and teacher trainees that if you hear me repeat myself or share the same point of emphasis more than once, then I am hoping that after hearing the repetition, that an association will be made that probably what I am sharing is important and to take note of it. It's the same with this point or this misconception in the concept of this episode. I promise you that getting off of your mat will change you as a teacher. This approach will expand you into a way of teaching that you will begin to find it hard to actually get back on your mat to lead a class. In fact, once you begin to approach teaching and cueing from this perspective, then you will no longer need to take your mat with you when you go to teach a class. It is not needed. Now, I certainly understand that if you aren't used to teaching off of your mat, then this may seem difficult or even scary. I promise you that teaching off of your mat is going to fast track you to building confidence, assurance, and trust in your capacity to lead. And you'll also balance those two sides of your brain, because when you're off your mat in the room, you will find yourself connecting more fully with that relational aspect that I mentioned earlier, that is the fast track towards developing not only your interactions, but your overall development and growth as a yoga teacher. Teaching off of your mat reduces your energy output, which is very important for those of you that are out there teaching full time. And more importantly, it creates more connection with the students, as I've just mentioned. I'll expand a little further on this to give you some points of insight to evaluate as you begin to shift from misconception to the construction of a new approach to teaching, and in particular, cueing. I'll begin by answering the question of why you would want to consider shifting your perspective or mindset in regards to this misconception. First, teaching from your mat compromises your own alignment and breathing. If you're on your mat actually taking action with what you're cueing while speaking, then you are definitely not practicing. And if you are attempting to actually see your students while on your mat, then most likely you are going to forsake your own safety and alignment. And then think about this, you're actually not demonstrating or modeling the representation of what you're cueing, because your body is most likely not in the position you're desiring to lead others into. You are not able to create the efficiency of breath and movement that you are actually trying to teach others to tap into. Next, when you teach from your mat, you compromise safety of students by not looking at them and potentially not seeing the misalignments that could be causing injury or presenting an opportunity of injury. Have you ever been in a class and the teacher is cueing what would indicate that they're actually seeing, yet the teacher isn't even looking out into the class? It sounds funny, but I've actually witnessed this, and I'm pretty sure you can relate as well. This is a clear demonstration of rote cueing and reciting the script or lines of what you've memorized rather than speaking and cueing to what you're actually seeing in the present moment. When you're off of your mat, you will better read the energy of the room, and you'll see what you can offer as guidance to meet the needs of students in the practice that given day, regardless of what you have prepared. This makes the practice experience relevant to the present moment. Let's talk about focus. When you stay on your mat, students will unconsciously follow you. When your focus is about being on your mat, moving with what you are speaking, the students are more outwardly focused because they are trying to replicate what you are doing rather than tune in to the interior of their own practice experience. Next, students evaluate or judge their experience based upon what they see you doing. Within this misconception, what you have deemed as helpful and even necessary by being on your mat, leading the class, that you quite possibly are becoming more of a distraction and distortion of what the practice experience is designed to be. Lastly, there is certainly a time when providing visual demonstrations is needed in order to effectively set up new poses, new sequences, or transitions, but this can be done in any spot in the room. Think about this. There is a beautiful landscape that you will miss if you limit yourself to teaching from your mat. You will miss the beauty unfolding right in front of you as you see yoga suddenly experienced on a deeper level within your students. Myth number two, cueing is about memorizing the right words to say. I say it often and I'll reinforce it again. Teaching yoga and cueing is not about memorizing a set of lines in order to deliver the perfect performance. Yoga teacher, you are not an actor, you are a teacher. And teaching is relational. It's important to evaluate and seek to become as best a communicator as possible. But cueing is anything but the reciting of a collection of the quote, right words. If you don't know why you're saying what you're saying and what the implication of the cues and directives you're giving mean, or how they could be interpreted by the student, then the class experience will fall flat because you are residing more heavily in that left brain technical aspect and function. If you're caught up in that aspect, then you will miss what's taking place in front of you within the interactive relational aspect of the experience. When you're caught up within memorization, you will miss seeing the student right in front of you, which is another reason to not teach from your mat. Cueing involves understanding the intention, organization, and action of the various yoga pose shapes, and then from that awareness, you build the class sequence. From this focus, your cues provide the framework, again, I've already mentioned, for poses to be linked together intelligently and thoughtfully in order to provide and guide students through the exploration and discovery of the deeper layers and the experience to be encountered through the practice of yoga. There's a time when you first start teaching that you do want to have a clear sense of a set of cues that for the most part will equip you with what to say and directing and setting students up within the yoga poses. Even within this initial learning phase, it's important that you begin to really hone in to the intention behind the pose, the organizational aspect, and the action of the pose. Focus on allowing your cues and language to provide that framework of the class sequence, and then all other aspects will fall into place after that. From the cues you use and the type of language you use to lead, you will support students in creating that experience within their practice that is more exploratory and allows space for curiosity and discovery rather than rigidity and a sense of conforming or fitting students into a particular yoga pose shape. Myth number three. I need to be proficient in anatomy in order to cue a class effectively. The understanding of anatomy as it applies to the practice of yoga asana is a powerful influencer, but you do not need to be an anatomy expert in order to become an effective communicator and yoga teacher. Start small. Begin integrating anatomy-focused cues within one pose at a time, and then look to see where the same action and anatomy focus shows up in other poses. It isn't necessary or relevant for you to go into a yoga class to give an anatomy lesson. Rather, consider how you might weave a thoughtful awareness into your classes that supports relevance for students in discovering what is going on below or beyond the surface of the shape they are creating. Teach what you need to learn. Simplify the process of incorporating the study of anatomy into the classes that you lead. First, understand more deeply how anatomy relates to the yoga practice, and it will infuse confidence in your teaching as you begin to trust that you are leading students safely and in harmony with the natural, intuitive intelligence and organization of their bodies. Secondly, yoga is for everybody, but it isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. As you deepen your understanding of anatomy, you can begin to emphasize various anatomy aspects into the classes you lead, and you can use your cues to invite students to explore and create their own experience. Thirdly, anatomy-focused cues help students develop a deeper understanding of proprioception and how they orient and move in relationship with gravity. Adding this layer of information within the cues and the language that you use within your classes will up-level the experience and equip students with a stronger connection to body awareness. In this episode, we've taken time to explore some of the misconceptions and mindset myths when it comes to cueing. Hopefully now you have some information to use in your time of reflection and evaluation as to how you view and approach cueing. Sometimes in order to know what something is, it's important to spend some time understanding what it's not. And these misconceptions when it comes to cueing will help you flip the perspective and see how you can use your cues and words in a way that makes a bigger and lasting impact on the students that you teach. Ultimately, we want to equip students with all they need to where they no longer need us as a teacher because they begin to remember on their own. Cueing is a vital element of your teaching skill set. Become more efficient in this area, not only so it will support the technical aspect, but it builds the relational aspect that is required if you desire to find longevity and sustainability as a yoga teacher. When we pull back and look through a broader lens of what the experience of teaching yoga entails, we can then note that although the technical and relational aspects are integral pieces, the aspect of how you presence yourself and how you show up for the classes you lead and hold the space in real time is a bigger portion or allocation of your preparation and within your role as a teacher. The greatest gift you can give students is your undivided presence. In order to give this freely, you will need to also be in an ongoing pursuit to sharpen the other two areas of your teaching skill set. There is no arriving, and there is always room to grow and refine as a teacher. If the cues or the cues you are using are not producing the intent or the action you are seeking by using them, then it's not the student who needs to do something differently. Rather, it's your responsibility to figure out how to say and cue the pose more effectively with a clearer and more direct language or cue to receive the desired result you're seeking. Equipping yourself and spending time evaluating and refining the cues and language you use to lead your classes, along with moving past these three myths and misconceptions I've shared today, will have a profound impact on your ability to step into classes and hold the space prepared, ready, and present for whoever shows up that given day. Some final thoughts about cueing, and in particular the impact that highly effective cueing has upon your confidence and the assurance you have in yourself as a teacher. Get clear on your intention when you go in to lead a class. Are you more focused on delivering your planned script, narrative, or sequence? Or could you view cueing and teaching through a broader lens that's more about you as the teacher being a conduit a vessel that is going in to pour into others from that which has been poured into you. When it comes to teaching, don't forsake the relational aspect and priority of what is taking place in the classroom. Confidence and assurance will come when you go in prepared and ready, knowing what to say and when to say it, and most importantly, knowing why you are leading and directing students in a particular direction. You will begin to trust yourself more when you are clear on these aspects of cueing, and when you trust yourself, then you will also begin to build a greater trust with the students you are leading. If you desire to dig deeper into the what, why, and how of cueing, then check out my new online course, the Key Cueing Course. This quick new mini course is all about cueing and will support you in unlocking the mystery when it comes to knowing what to say, when to say it, and why you're saying what you're saying in order to lead and teach highly effective and impactful yoga class experiences. In this course, I will teach and equip you within the 10 essential keys you need to unlock the mystery of cueing in as little as 5 days. You will no longer wonder whether you are leading impactful and meaningful class experiences, because it will be a reality. Click the link in the show notes and enroll today. Join me on the inside. Until we meet again, I wish you well, and I'll look forward to meeting with you in the next episode. Until we meet again, thank you. Thank you for joining me today, and I wish you well along life's journey. And I'll look forward to spending time with you in the next episode.